Hi everybody, welcome to the Mental Toughness and Body Show. My name is Rob Evans and I'm your transformation coach and health strategist. Today I wanted to talk to you about how passion fuels success. And I think it's one of life's gifts, if you like, if you can truly find what it is that you are passionate and excited about, particularly in your career, so that you will never ever work a day in your life again. And I can tell you from a young age in Australia, the way the education system is built back certainly in the 80s, it's probably still the same now, but there's a lot of pressure on you when you are, so year 10 here. And so that's around the age of, for me, how old was I? I was 14. And if you think about it, so back in my era, so this back in the, 1984. So yeah, I was 15, 16 years of age. And there's a lot of pressure on you to determine what your career is going to be. Like, think about that. At 15, it's like you've got to determine what your career is. Now, back then, there was very much the pressure of whatever you choose, that's what you're going to do for the rest of your life. It's different now. People can jump from careers to careers more easily in some ways, and it's kind of expected that you'll only stay at a role for maybe 6 months or maybe a little bit longer, but you can change careers multiple times across your working life. But back then, there was a lot of pressure, and I was not a good student. There weren't things that I really loved to do. And so finding something for me that I was passionate about, where other people at my age, they're like, yeah, I'm going to go be an engineer. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to, you know, go do something else. And it's like, that just didn't come to me. And again, it kind of matched with the negative self-talk I had at the time, that there was something wrong with me. I'm just not good at stuff. I'm not a good student. I'm never going to amount to anything, et cetera, et cetera. And so the only things that I was good at the time were things to do with numbers. So, of course, I didn't understand at that point. I wasn't surrounded by people that had these tools and information back then. But I didn't know that I was very left brain and that numbers, structure, planning, etc., was things that I should have been doing. And I just naturally felt that my better skills were around numbers, so mathematics. They were things that I was like, okay, that was some of my better subjects. And then we did a business subject in the last part of year 10 before we had to pick our subjects for the next year, for year 11 and then year 12, and then make a choice about going on to university. And we did accounting and business, and I thought, oh, actually, this is really good. And so at the time, I didn't really connect that, oh, numbers here, numbers there, and maybe I should go off and do this. But somewhere in that mix, the logic said to me, well, perhaps I should go down that accounting path. And so I followed that, and I went through year 10, year 11, year 12, and then my plan was to go on to university, do a Bachelor of Business in accounting so that I could then get a job and a career in accounting. So I lived in country Victoria. I know if you've heard my story before, you'll know this, so I'll cover it quickly. Country Victoria, I wanted to move away from home. I wanted to become financially independent. So fortunately for me, because mum and dad didn't have any money, I had to pay my own way through uni and everything, but they were able to house me and feed me. Because it was just a short bike ride away from where we lived. And so I did my 3 years of that. I got a graduate, I can't think of the word. But I became a graduate, part of the graduate program with Coopers and Lybrand before it became PwC. And then I went there and I was determined to, so you've got to work in the firm for 12 months under the guide of chartered accountants, and then you can sit to do your, like, start studying to do your, what was called your professional year. But ironically, it took about 18 months to complete. So I did that, and then I was fully qualified chartered accountant. And as I was going through the process of studying to become a chartered accountant, I realized that this really wasn't for me. I didn't enjoy working within Coopers. I didn't like the culture. So this is in the early 90s to mid 90s. And I thought, I just really don't belong here. There was a lot of partying, a lot of drinking, a lot of stuff that I just wasn't into. It was like a bit of a boys club. And that's certainly not me. So I was looking for a way to get out of it. And I didn't love it. A lot of the people that went into Coopers, they went into manufacturing. I was in audit and they had manufacturing clients and all that kind of stuff, which is probably where I should have been. But they put me in insurance, which is boring as hell. Technically, very different from an accounting perspective than I'd ever done ever before. I didn't enjoy it. And anyway, that was kind of my path. And then I got out of Coopers. I went to Telstra. I did statutory accounting stuff, which is like preparing their published accounts and stuff. We had to do that four times a year, two big sets, and then the other quarters were half sets. And we had to do that just over and over and over again. And it was boring. It was really boring. And I was overpaid and underutilized. I mean, the pay that I deserved was ripe. So I left Coopers and I think I took like a $15,000 pay increase, but I was underutilized in that role, and it was like, it was just boring for me because it's like, man, this, you can use my skills better somewhere else. And anyway, there were no opportunities that were coming up in Telstra. An opportunity came up outside of Telstra, which was at RACV. I went there in internal audit. It was a very diverse organisation. I thought, if I can be in there for a couple of years, build some skills, get to learn about these other business units, then I can make a shift. And so over the course of the next 13 years of working there, I managed to move out of internal audit into some project areas, and then I got sort of notoriety for my skills, my passion for change and achieving a difference. And I just had the great opportunity to work with some really great people and move throughout the organisation, becoming an acting general manager there for a while, and an executive general manager wanting me to become a general manager. And I didn't feel like I had the skills, which I don't think I did back then. Now it would be no problem, but back then it was like, man, I didn't have the confidence or the skills compared to a lot of these other people. Didn't have all the networking skills. I wasn't resourceful enough. I wasn't great at building relationships and adding value. So it just wasn't for me. And then my last role was really a good one, reporting directly to the general manager there. Second highest paid person in the whole organization. Incredibly smart man. I learned so much from him about leadership and creative thinking and so forth. And then through that process of being at RACV, I was like, every sort of 3 to 4 years, I was looking for a new challenge. And I was hoping that at one point I would find what that was. And my original plan in leaving my hometown of Bendigo and coming to Melbourne way back in the start of 1990, that's when it was my first year. I graduated in 89. I felt that I would come to Melbourne for maybe 10 years, get the experience and return back home to Bendigo because I really love Bendigo. And when I was just a smaller country town, about 70,000 people when I left. I don't know, it's probably well over 100 plus thousand now. But when I came down here, I thought, well, I think my life is now going to be here, meet somebody, create a family, get married, all that kind of stuff. And anyway, that's all what happened. But each 3 to 4 years, I was looking for that new challenge. And I was thinking, well, you know, what's next? What's next? What's next kind of thing? And I just didn't find it. And then one day I was thinking about, what is it that I'm going to do for that next step? What is it? And that was the year 2007. And I made the decision then that why don't I run my own health and fitness business? Like, I was sitting in my studio on my 2.5 acre property. I was having a rest in between sets on my bench press, actually. And I thought, why don't I do this? And so we had young kids at the time, and I spoke it over with my wife, and we just agreed that, yeah, that made sense because we had built a pretty good life for ourselves and financially very strong. And we thought, well, she wanted to go back and was kind of a little bit over spending so much time with the kids, and I wanted to spend more time with the kids. She wanted to return to work more full time, and I wanted to spend more time with the kids. So we said, well, okay, this is probably perfect timing. I can set up the business. I can work sort of part time / full time, if you like, and like being a full time dad. The kids were young. I was doing all the things that you need to do for, you know, babies and toddlers. And it kind of just grew from there. And it wasn't like business is really tough. And look, I was a few years into the business. I then got divorced, and I've been in business. This is 15 years in September this year. And I didn't realize what hard work was until I got into business. And I think to some extent, if I knew what I knew now at the start, you'd say, wow, do I really want to do that? Like based on where I am at my life now, I'm 55 to turning 56 in August this year. There's no way I would go through that process again from starting based on what I know now. It's like, man, I'm not doing that. Because it's just really, really hard. Now, I'm a way better person. I'm a way better thinker. I'm a better human. I'm more productive. I think I add more value to everybody in my life, clients, family. Now, as a result of going through that process of running my own business and getting coaching, and it's really helping draw out my full potential, because you can become really complacent when you're just an employee. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but you know what I mean. If you're an employee versus a business owner's mindset, it's very, very different. And if you're a business owner in a successful business and you've created that, it's like your child. It's like you've created this baby, and you've seen it develop and emerge, and you have grown as a parent of that business in the process. And I think that is really exciting. You can't really put a price on that. I mean, I'm just such a better person now because of everything that I've gone through running the business. But I think through this whole process, the greatest gift in all of this has been finding what my passion is. And that's what I was looking for from a child, you know, making those decisions about what's that career going to be. If I knew what I knew now and I went back, I mean, obviously it's a different time and place and everything, but knowing how excited I am about what I do now, perhaps I would have done a sports science type of degree to go then into whether it was exercise physiology or to you know, get those skills and then go to somewhere like the Australian Institute of Sport, maybe working with some of the best athletes on the planet. Maybe it was moving to the other side of the world, maybe to the US and working with some of those high-performance teams and so forth. I love the stuff with mindset. Maybe I would have gone into psychology and then sports psychology and things like that, because that's an aspect that really, really excites me, and we have such a shortage of psychologists right now. Maybe not necessarily sports psychologists, but just psychologists in general. Perhaps I would have gone down that path instead, knowing what I know now. But I also bring a different skill set to the industry that I spend most of my time. I was just having a conversation with somebody just last night, actually, where this coming weekend, I'm going to the Fitness Expo here in Australia. And I may have mentioned this before. I've spoken about it a couple of times on Rob Evans 365, but I'm actually not looking forward to going. I'm forcing myself to do it. I received an email of all the people that they're holding out as being, wow, go and have your photo taken with these people, meet these amazing people, et cetera, et cetera. I've never heard of any of them apart from one. And his life is just seems to have completely evaporated into a world of drugs, and as in like sports performance drugs and just a whole bunch of other stuff that just, I don't think it's, well, I know that it certainly wouldn't help improve my brand and image. And you look at all these other people and you think, wow, is this what we've become as the fitness industry? But anyway, I'll talk more about that on the weekend when I go. But what I was talking about last night is how I'm constantly disappointed by what the health and fitness industry has become, is becoming. It's becoming more fake, more artificial, and I don't think it's adapting in the right way. And we're getting a lot of people that are entering the market that are holding themselves out to be something, but I don't think that's what the general population is looking for or needs to achieve significant change in health and wellness and sustainability. And that's because of the way that I've gone through my career. I think it helps me bring a level of professionalism and maturity to the industry that's really, really missing. Like, we really need to raise the standards. It's far too easy to get into it. You have a lot of cowboys and cowgirls out there in the industry, and it's just not, I just think it's damaging for humankind. So I'm just trying to play my part in making a difference, and I get those clients that get what it is that I do and the way that I work with people come to me like that. Now, more and more people are moving away from the health and fitness industry, but again, why I stick around is because it is my true passion. Like, I love it so much with every fiber. I've changed my life, I changed my career to build a business in this space because I just believe that it is going to be one of the single biggest supports that we have for humankind over the next decade, two, three, four, and five. Certainly for the rest of my lifetime. If you think about the negative impact that COVID had on the globe, particularly here in my city here in Melbourne, we were locked down more than anyone else in the world. And now the ongoing mental health issues that are arising as a result of that, they arose at the time, but now they're continuing. It really knocked the stuffing out of a lot of people. And I think if you look at lifestyles and what's happening with the amount of time people are spending being sedentary, looking at devices, following more and more like filtered lives, if you like, bad news, and it's instantaneous bad news. Something happens across the other side of the world, and almost before it's reported on the news, if anyone these days watches free-to-air TV, it's on our phone. You know, it's on TikTok, it's on social media. And like, we suffer really badly here in Australia by tall poppy syndrome, and people that are striving for success become successful, then here they want to cut you down. And whether it's at all levels, it's the media, it's the public, etc. It's a horrible, horrible culture that exists here. So it's but it's just really difficult. It's tough. And so I know the impact that has on everybody's mindset, mental health, etc. And people are losing their passion for life and just allowing life to happen to them. And this is why I stay doing what I'm doing and keeping on innovating and improving me and understanding more about psychology and understanding more about the mindset and what drives people and what do we need to do to really tap in to bring out the best in people. And that's what really excites me. So until I found that passion, coming back to what I originally started this conversation about, what allowed me to find that was this hunger to what's next, what's next, what's next. I'm looking for that next thing. And even now as I'm in business, I'm not looking for, you know, what's that next career. I'm looking for what's that next thing to help me get the edge, to help me be better, etc., through my coaching and my constant hunger to learn and become that better version of me, not just the health side of me, but the mindset and the value that I bring to others as well. And it has only been since I found what my true passion is that's allowed me to bring out my best me. And it's required a lot of work. It's required a lot of pain and heartache through that process. But if you think about and follow anyone, I mean, what I love about some of the, I've been watching on Apple TV, I have a free 3-month subscription to it. I wouldn't pay for it. But I've been watching a great series that they did about Tom Brady and the Patriot dynasty. If you have Apple TV, watch it. It's great. It really is great. If you think about Messi, there's one about Messi on there as well. And you just watch the pain. You only see the victories and all that kind of stuff, but if you watch the pain and suffering that they go through to achieve their success, they're only great because of the work ethic and the pain and everything that they put themselves through. And that's super, super important. So you got to dig to find your passion, but it's worth the journey. It's worth the digging in order to get there, because my life has never been the same since I found it. And I've never worked a day since. So if you want to connect with me, go to mentaltoughnessandbodyshow.com. I'd love to connect with you. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. Talk to you soon. Did I say go to mentaltoughnessandbodyshow.com? That's where you need to go. All right, I'll see you soon. Tomorrow.